North, would you help me welcome all of our locations that are joining with us today? We're glad you're there today. My name is Eddie Couples. I'm the lead pastor for Love and Truth Ministries, and it's an exciting opportunity week in and week out, not just to preach here at the North Campus, but at all of our different locations. And we're glad you're there today. If you're a guest with us, thanks for coming. And we believe that God has something for you today. Listen, Love and Truth Church is about three things, and I want to talk about them real quick before we go into our message today. First of all, we believe that Love and Truth Church is to encourage all people, that week in and week out, we get the opportunity to encourage people. And so Sunday is all about encouraging. We want you to leave today encouraged. We want you to believe that you can go out and take the week by the throat and make it do what you want it to do. We want to help you engage with your purpose, and we do that through our Next Steps class. If you haven't been through Next Steps, we'd love to get you involved in that, because in that we help you find your spiritual gifts, and we really do help you find your purpose. And here's what we know: when you find your purpose and your place, you live life with passion. And thirdly, we want you to encounter His presence, and we believe that every time we come together, that we encounter His presence. But I want to tell you, Wednesday night, that's what we're going for. If you haven't been coming to Wednesday night at any of our campuses, I get reports every week about what God is doing at every one of our locations. And I encourage you, make Wednesday night a priority if you want to encounter the presence of God, get a life change going on, get all empowered by the Holy Spirit, show up on Wednesday night, all right? Hey, listen, we're talking about imagine what God will do. And we're trying to get that into everybody's life right now. You know, we've been giving out wristbands. We've been giving out around 5,000 wristbands. We got t-shirts with it on there. I hope you got a t-shirt and you're wearing it. And you're saying, I'm imagining what God will do, and believing for great things. And so each week we've been looking at different aspects. One of the aspects I want to look at today is imagine what God will do if we can come to an understanding of stewardship. Okay? So that's what we're going to be talking about today. But before we get there, let's read our scripture together. The book of Ephesians, Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 20. It's going to come up on the screen at your location. Would you read this aloud with me? Now to Him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to His power that is at work within us. I believe today that God has put something down inside of us that each and every one of us can begin to live at a different level. What would happen if you just took the limits off of your life? Amen? Amen? What would happen if you began just to imagine? Can you imagine some crazy stuff? Come on. Come on, somebody. Can you just imagine something that's just so far out there that if God doesn't show up, you're going to look pretty foolish? But boy, when He shows up, He's able, King James says it this way, He's able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we can ask or think, according to the power that's working inside of us. The book of 1 Corinthians, the 4th chapter, and the 2nd verse says this: Moreover, it is required in stewards that one, that person, be found faithful. Now, I want to talk about stewardship today, and I want you to relax. It's going to be fun. It's going to be good. You're going to get saved and know Jesus today. Amen. All over again for some of you, for the first time, for some of the rest of you, because we're going to be talking about how that you and I have been called to stewardship. The word stewardship, I wrote it down, says this. Here's what stewardship means. One who manages another's property, finances, or other affairs. In other words, that person who is taking care of somebody else's stuff. Now, as a believer, if you're a Christian today, you are a steward, okay? You have been called to stewardship according to the Scripture. If you aren't walking in fellowship with Jesus Christ today, let me say this to you. You also are called to stewardship. The Word of God lets us know that each of us are called to be stewards. And so how we live this life is very important. Now, we need to settle a couple of things just off the bat today. The first thing is this. 1 Corinthians 10:26 says this: The earth is the Lord's and everything in it. Everybody say everything. Come on, let's say it really loud. Everything. The earth is the Lord's and everything Now, if the earth is the Lord and everything that's in it is the Lord, guess what? God owns everything. Uh-oh. No, come on. If that scripture's right. Now, you love John 3:16. God so loved the world that he gave. You love that one. If that one's holy, this one's holy. The earth is the Lord's and everything in it. God owns it all. Everything is his. Now, if that is true, then I've got to change my perspective of life. Amen. How many of you work hard? Tell the truth. How many of you work hard? You know you put in a lot of hours. You get up early. You stay over late. I saw teenagers raising their hands. They stay up late and sleep late. But anyway, I love you. You know, I mean, come on. You know you work hard. But guess what? It's not your stuff. It's not yours. Now let's talk about it a minute. What has to happen is we have to change our concept of how we live. Now I like nice stuff. Anybody like nice stuff? Come on, I like nice stuff. I mean, I'll take anything. But I like nice stuff. And the nicer the better. And I'm not, I don't guess I need to apologize for that, do I? I just like nice stuff. But here's what I know is nice stuff breaks down, falls apart, tears up, just like cheap stuff does. Just not as quick, right? And so what I have to do is I have to come to that place of understanding that God owns everything, and I've got to live life. Most of you know that I was born and raised in Africa, and I've never seen this in person, but I've read about this, that if you want to trap a monkey, that the way to do that is to get some kind of a see-through glass jar and put something shiny in it, put something bobbly in it, that it'll catch its attention and then have a smaller neck on it. And they say what happens is that monkey reaches in there and it grabs a hold of whatever that's in there. And it begins to pull against it. Well, they've tied down the container, and so it's there. Now, all that has to happen for that monkey to get loose is to open its hands. Now, I'm not calling you a monkey. But all you've got to do to get set free is to open your hands. See, I've got to hold everything in this life with open hands because it's not mine. I want to use it. I want to enjoy it. I want to, you know, experience it on and on and on. But it is not mine. If that scripture is true, that the earth is the Lord's and everything in it, then that means my house, my car, the chair that I sit in, whatever it is that I'm wearing, every bit of it is God's, and I have to understand that, and I have to live that way. So I've got, in stewardship, I've got to settle that. The second thing is in Romans 14, and it says then, so then each of us will give an account of ourselves to God. The second thing about stewardship is that God holds us accountable. In each and every one of us, God holds you accountable. Now, you may not think he does right now, but the Word of God says that there comes a day in all of our lives, listen to what it says, that you will stand before God one day and you will give an account of how you've lived your life. Wow. How have I lived? What have I done with what I've been given? What have I done with the spiritual aspect of my life? What have I done with the physical part of my life? What have I done with my relationships? What's that all about? What have I done with the finances, the resources, and the talents and the abilities that God has given me? Each and every one of us have to understand that we are responsible for everything that we have been given. If you've got a talent, you've got an ability, you are responsible to use that in God's kingdom. I've got to come to that place where I say, God, you've given me this talent. You've given me this ability. I can remember growing up, people would ask me, my dad was a pastor and a missionary, people would ask me, what are you going to do when you grow up? Ever had that question? When you were, some of you, it's been a while. Right? What are you going to do when you grow up? And my response always was this, I don't know, but I don't want to be a preacher. That was my response from, I don't know, 10, 11, 12 years. I don't want to be a preacher. I don't want to be a preacher. Guess what? God didn't ask me. He just said, here's the gift, here's the ability, here's what I've put into you. Now use it in the way that I've appropriated it into your life. See, accountability promotes servanthood. When I understand that I'm accountable to God, I live with a different mindset. I don't live with that mindset of I'm going to do this and I'm going to do that. I live with a mindset of what is it that God wants me to do. Isn't it interesting that we use the term Lord and then we want to tell him what we want to do? Right? Lord, I just pray today that you just bless me. And Lord, now Lord, you know that I want to. Yeah, and we start telling him. No. The word Lord, right? You know, I've said for years, everybody wants him as Savior, but nobody wants him as Lord. Lord means that he tells us what to do, how to do it, and how to live. So there's this accountability that comes into our life. And so when I begin to establish, when I get those first couple of things established in servanthood, then I begin to live with a different mindset. And I begin to understand how God's kingdom operates. How many of you know that God's ways are not your ways? Right? The Bible says that his ways are not our ways. His thoughts are not our thoughts. His thoughts are beyond our understanding, Scripture says. And God just does things differently than I do. Right? Am I the only one? I mean, are y'all also saved today? You're oversaved, as Michael Jr. says. I've got those issues in life that I look at and say, I don't want to do that. I don't want to live that way. I don't want to conduct myself that way. And what I've found about God is that God operates a little differently. In fact, let's just read it. 2 Corinthians 9:6 says this about how God operates. It says, remember this, whoever sows sparingly will also reap how? Sparingly. And whoever sows generously will also reap generously. Now, you've heard me say, those of you who have been around for a while, you've heard me say this for years. Our concept is this: get all you can all you get, and then sit on your can. I gotta have more. And yet God says, listen, if you want to be blessed, he said, if you sow a little, anybody ever done a garden? Anybody ever put a garden out? Six of you, man, this is a city church. If I was at one of the other campuses, everybody in the crowd would be with their hands up. I don't like gardening. I grew up in a family that my dad grew up in an orchard and a farm and whatever, and he thought, you know, we ought to have a garden. I would just rebuke that in Jesus' name and go to Kroger. Okay? I'm just going to tell you right now. Those of you who love it, God bless you. But here's what I do know. I remember enough about this, is that if you sow one kernel of corn, you're going to get one stalk of corn and then maybe two or three or four ears of corn. But if you sow 100 kernels of corn, you're going to get what? A generous blessing back to you. Here's what we have to understand. God blesses the giver in proportional measure. If you are generous, God is generous. If you're stingy, come on, anybody know? No, don't look at them. You already punching people. Stop it. Right? You know, they're so tight, they squeak when they walk. I mean, when they hold a penny in their hand, Abraham Lincoln or whoever gets a headache because they squeeze it so tight. All the religious people are not smiling right now. So if you're not smiling, it means you've got a religious spirit on you, all right? Okay. All right. Now, here's what we have to understand. God looks at generosity. God looks at how do we approach life. In fact, it goes down to this. It's your mindset that produces generosity. Okay? You live with one of two mindsets. You either live with a poverty mentality. And a poverty mentality doesn't mean you don't have money. A poverty mentality means you think there's never enough. A poverty mentality says that when you see somebody else getting something, you get mad and afraid and say, well, they got this, that means I'm not going to get anything. A poverty mentality, y'all all right? A poverty mentality says, I want everybody to be the same. I don't want anybody to get ahead. I don't want anybody to get behind. I want us all just be the same. And we just, that's a poverty mentality. That's the mentality that sows very, very sparingly. But a generosity mentality, a mentality that says that God is more than enough, lives with the willingness and the excitement to be able to sow, to be able to give, and say, I can't wait. Here's what I know. Whatever you say, well, I'm going to sow a teaspoonful. That's good, because God's going to give you a teaspoonful back. But God's teaspoon is bigger than yours, right? And so his teaspoon is like a shovel. And so you get excited and say, well, I got that blessing. And you get a shovel next time, and you shovel it out, and God just brings a backhoe back, and he just dumps it all over. You get a backhoe next. Come on. And see, God's proportional giving. Here's what the scripture says. Give, and it shall be given. It doesn't talk just about money. Give. I give love. I give kindness. I give mercy. Give, and it shall be given back to you. Good measure. Pressed down. Shaken together. And running over shall men give unto you. That's what the scripture says. So we've got to learn how to live that way. We've got to learn how to conduct ourselves that way, where that we live with the understanding of proportional giving. And when you begin to live that way, God begins to do supernatural things. In the past year, we're in this time of giving right now, and we're talking about giving a little bit more than we normally do. And so Sherry and I have been praying over the past several months now, because we knew all of this was coming. And asking God what he'd have us to do. And so we've just been talking to one another, because the Bible says that they overcame the enemy by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. So when God has done something for you, you ought to talk about it. Don't miss this. If God's blessed you financially, you ought to be talking about it, because that makes you an overcomer. And so Sherry and I we've been talking about some of the overcoming things that God has done for us. And she reminded me, I forgot about this. Our daughter Ashley, most of you don't know Ashley because she lives in California, but our daughter Ashley was a crazy story, I won't get into it, but was given a full ride scholarship to Oral Roberts University and went there. But then she decided she wanted to come home. And so she came back to Jackson for a couple of years. Ashley was one of those college students that crammed 4 years of college in 5 years. If you're watching, I love you. All right, and so she decided her last year she wanted to go back to Oral Roberts University, and so she goes back out there, and we drive her out there, and we're there, and she goes and she applied. I mean, we applied for everything. If you could apply for it, we applied for it. All right, I even put on there that I was African American. I didn't. I mean, some of you are looking at, I was born in Africa. Don't get mad, all right? I mean, we tried it all. And she was turned down for everything. I mean, there was nothing happening, all right? Nothing happening. And so at Oral Roberts University during that time, they would have a big conference right before, and they bring in speakers from everywhere. And the Maybe Center is where they would hold it down. There'd be thousands of people in there. So we were sitting there, and I didn't even know this was going on, because Ashley was sitting next to her mom. And they were taking an offering for a certain ministry. I won't name the ministry, but they were taking an offering for a certain ministry. And Ashley leaned over to her mom. Now remember, we're her parents, and we're going to have to pay all this money for her to go back to college. Come on, parents, work with me a minute, all right? And so she looked at her mom, and they're getting ready to take the offering, and she said, I feel like I need to give everything I got. Well, my mind says, no, you need to keep everything you got, because we got to pay this tuition. Come on, don't act so holy right now. Just stop it, all right? But I'm not in the conversation, and so she says to Sherry, I feel like I'm going to give everything I got. Well, I didn't know how much she had. Well, she reached in her purse, she got everything she got, and she put in the offering. Now, here's the deal. It was $40. That's all the kid had, $40. All right? Now, watch this. Remember, God's a proportional giver. I don't know if it was the next day or just in a couple of days there. They call her from the office and say, come to the office, we need to talk to you. She gets there, and they say to her, we've got a scholarship for you. No, you're not shouting, but we were shouting. Now, here's what's even more fun about the scholarship. The ministry she gave the $40 to was the ministry that gave the scholarship. That's how my God works. I don't know how yours works, but that's how my God works. That's a pretty good return, $40 for over $6,000. That's a good return on investment. See, the fourth thing is this, and let me share this with you. It kind of goes right in hand with that. God desires equal commitment, not equal contribution. See, there's a story in the book of Mark, the 12th chapter, that I love, and it's interesting. It's Jesus and the disciples, and here's what the Bible says. The Bible says that Jesus goes to the temple, and he sits down at the offering taking place. Now think about that. Jesus sits down where they're taking the offering. You read it. It's in Mark 12. Go home today and read it. And he watches them, the Bible says, as they're giving. And man, they're coming and they're walking. It's pomp and it's circumstances. And the fat cats are coming, man. And they're dropping, you know, ba-boom. The whole thing just shakes because it's gold and boom, you know. And the disciples go, man, you see, that's $10,000. Boom. Next guy walks up, he says, I can do better than that, and he drops in more. And they're trying to one-up each other. And Jesus is just watching. He doesn't say anything. He doesn't make any commotion. He just watches. And there's a little woman who's kind of at the back. And she probably doesn't have on the finest of clothing, and she's probably just not on the top of her game. And in my mind, she's waiting for everybody else to get done. And everybody else kind of walks through and everybody sees it and they're all, yeah, look at that. And then once they get gone, Jesus is still sitting there. And the Bible says she walks up and she drops in one penny. And when she drops in a penny, Jesus jumps up and says, did you see that? Yes. Yeah. And the disciples go, what? A penny. She gave 1 cent, a widow's mite, Scripture calls it. Jesus is pumped. Yep. Yeah. Jesus is excited. Guys, did you see what she just did? Yeah, but Lord, did you see that fat cat? He dropped $100,000 today. And Jesus said, yeah. But he said, every one of them gave out of their abundance. He said she gave everything she had. See, there's something that God looks at in your life. And you need to understand that my sacrifice is not about what I give, but what I have left. It's not about the amount, although the kingdom moves forward on the amount. I got that. But here's what I know, is I know that in our eyes, a lot of times, we get all excited when those of us who have made it in life and we live in the right neighborhoods and do the right things, and we kind of get excited when those people give. And let me say to those of you who are like me, who have been greatly blessed, you ought to give. You should be so loving of what God has done for you, you shouldn't even have to be asked to give. Come on, I'm pastoring for a minute, but it's good stuff. Why, can I just say this with you? Why is it that when we don't have anything, we can trust God? And then when we get some stuff, it's like, now, Lord, you know. Right? Come on, anybody else? Has God ever spoke to any of you? Don't raise your hand. First of all, has he spoken to any of you? That's the first question. The next question, the rest of the question is, has he ever spoken to you to give something and you just start rebuking the devil? I mean, I have. This is like, that, you say, well, I don't believe that's biblical. Yeah, here's what the scripture says. It says, those who go forth sowing in tears shall doubtless come again reaping in joy. If you've never cried over an offering, you hadn't given much. Uh-oh. Got quiet. See, there are times where I've had God speak to me about giving that I argued. Oh, Pastor, I just always do it on the, as soon as he speaks, I give. He hadn't asked you for much, has he? I mean, there are moments I just go, now, Lord, wait a minute. It just happened to me about 3 weeks ago. All right? We're in the Philippines, and you know, it's a sacrifice for me to go, because y'all know me, I travel horribly, I don't like going places, and I love being there, love teaching the pastors, love the wonderful people in the Philippines, but I just don't like the whole travel business. And so I'm there, and we're looking at a church that we're needing to complete. And they're talking. They're talking about, in fact, the architect was there, and the builder was there, and the pastor was there, and a lot of people were there, and they're all talking. And they're talking about how much it's going to cost to finish out the building and all that. And I'm just minding my own business. I wasn't walking around saying, oh, Jesus, could you just speak to me today, Lord? I want to hear your voice. I wasn't asking for anything. I wasn't trying to hear a word from God. Nothing. And I hear what they're saying about how much it's going to cost. And God spoke. And I just kind of, you ever seen a baseball pitcher shake it off? I just shook it off. I just went, no. Wrong pitch. Came back again. I go, no. Because here's the conversation between God and I. I've been putting money back for a car. Now, not a car. I got a great car to drive. I've been putting money back for a toy. A fast toy that I want. And so I've been putting all this money back. And God says, you know that money? And I go, come on, you ever play dumb? Lord, why money? What money are you talking about, Lord? All the religious people still aren't smiling. What money are you talking about, Jesus? You know I have money. You know what I'm talking about. And I just went, mm. I don't know, Sherry. Notice, I walked away from the people. Because God and I are having this dialogue, and it's not going well because I'm losing. And then he asked the question, all right? Now, there was not a verbal conversation. I didn't hear the voice of the Lord out loud, but I know when God speaks, all right? And so he asked the question, and here was the question. Do you want a toy, or do you want to affect eternity? So now, I don't know anybody else. If I had waited all day long, I'd have prayed myself out of that. Now, maybe I'm the only one. I'd have rationalized why not to give it. As soon as I heard that, I walked over to Sherry. I said, come here. I said, tell them that we're going to pay for this and just take it out of that money that I've been putting back. And then I just walked away and went, what did I just do? I'm telling you, there are times when you give an offering and it's not fun. But here's what I know. Every time I've given, I am blown away by what God does. And it's not always money. Don't get in that, you give $100, you'll get $1,000. Don't play that stupidity. But I'm always blown away. I can't wait for a harvest on my car. I can't wait to see what God's going to do as a result of being obedient. See, there's this whole aspect. This widow in this story had total trust in God. And you and I have got to come to that same place where we live with total trust. See, in all of our lives as believers, the scripture lists three aspects of giving. Some of you have heard me talk about this in the past. And let me say this to you. Here's what I know. God's kingdom advances when God's people give. Just the way it is. The scripture bears that out. And so there's the first level of giving as a believer. If you're a Christian today, there's the first level of giving, and that's consistent giving. The Apostle Paul talks about this in 1 and 2 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians, he talks about on the first day of the week, bring into the house what you have determined to give. In 2 Corinthians, he talks about setting it aside and bringing it into the house of God. And he says, do it as a cheerful giver. So that I can say, so as a Christian, as a believer, listen to me, if you call yourself a Christian today, the lowest level of giving is consistency. Just consistently giving to the kingdom of God. The second level is what I refer to as covenant, all right? It's the covenant. I don't have time to read all the scriptures, but Luke talks about it where Jesus looked at the Pharisees and he said, you tithe on all of these things. And he said, this you ought to do and not leave the weightier things undone. What Jesus is saying is that tithing is an important principle, but there's a whole lot of other principles that are even greater. So he said, make sure you get the tithing one. Now, if you can't get that down, what are you doing? And Hebrews talks about here on earth, men receive tithe, but there in the heavenlies, they're received by God. So tithing is that second level. The third level is found in the book of, and second level makes you a partner. Let me give you the fill in there because some of you will freak out if I don't. All the people who have to have, all the engineers will go crazy. So I got to have that fill in. So there it is, all right? The third level is the committed level, all right? The book of Acts talks about the committed level in Acts chapter 2. It says that they saw what they had and they brought that lady at the apostles' feet so that they could be distributed among the people that had needs. And here's the aspect of commitment. The committed level is that level where you go above and beyond, all right? I remember the first time after Sherry and I got married that this happened, all right, the very first time. When Sherry and I got married, this is how long we've been married. When Sherry and I got married, her dad said to us, we were talking this big wedding, her dad said to us, he said, here's the amount I'm going to give you for the wedding. And we looked at it and said, okay, we can do the wedding for this. And he said, or if you don't do a big wedding, I'll give you the money. It was $3,000. I'll tell you what it was, $3,000 to do a whole wedding, all right? And I didn't pray in the spirit. I didn't go ask for counsel. We took the money and ran, all right? We even wrote a song about it. No, okay. And some of you are way too sanctified this morning, okay? And so we had that $3,000. We started living off of it. We're in an apartment. I'm in college. I got a year and a half of college or so left. And the pastor gets up, and they're getting ready to build a new college, and he's making an appeal for giving. And I'm sitting there, and at that point, we'd spent down, I don't know how much, but there wasn't, the three wasn't there. It was less than that. And I got this impression, again, I didn't hear all, I just got this impression that we ought to give $1,000. So, again, I'm shaking it off. All right? We get in the car, and I looked at Sherry, and I said, I think we're supposed to give some money. And Sherry, being the good wife that she has always been, she said, well, how much? And I said, well, I think we ought to give $1,000. And I think she broke out in travail. And because Sherry is the accountant of the family, and she keeps all the books and everything just right. And we prayed about it, and we came back, and we followed what God told us to. So we gave it. You say, Pastor, why are you telling us this? Because that's the biggest gift I've ever given. Now, I've given many tens of thousands and more than that. That's the biggest gift I've ever given. It was like, okay, Jesus, now what? Because we were going to live off that money. And I can tell you time after time after time how God showed up on our behalf. I remember one of them, One of the things was Sherry had a car, a Grand Torino, a blue four-door Grand Torino. I don't know why she didn't have a nice two-door Grand Torino. But anyway, Grand Torino blue from Illinois. And those of you who remember those cars back in the day, you drive in salt long enough and everything underneath just falls out, right? Okay, all you people from Tennessee don't know what I'm talking about, but. So one day she was driving down the road and the entire muffler system just, that's it, it's gone. So we take it, I know where we took it to Midas Muffler. Guy came out and said, I don't remember, it was $240-something. Well, it might as well have been $240,000. We didn't have $240. Ever been there? Ever been there? Somebody said, I'm there right now. Okay, get this. The next day, I walk to my box at school, my mailbox. I opened it. There is a letter in there. The letter has a check in it. Guess how much the check was for? $240. I mean, it was almost to the penny. And I could tell you story after story after story after story of how God, not just that time, but so many times, has done that. But it comes to the place, am I willing to live life with open hands? See, open hands is not a principle we came up with. Open hands is a principle Jesus came up with. Jesus came to this earth and he opened his hands and he died for my sin and for your sin. Jesus said, you don't take my life, I'm a steward of it, I give it. And there are some of you who are listening to me today, you need to receive the open hands of Jesus today. You need to take this day and realize that the greatest steward who ever lived on this earth, his name was Jesus. And he said, I didn't come to be served, I came to serve. And he said, I've come to give my life as a ransom for all of you. And so my sin, your sin, the whole world's sin, the Bible says, was placed upon him. And he stretched his arms wide. And he said, Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they do. And here we are 2,000 years later, and we still get to receive what his open hands gave. And I challenge you today not to leave a location, not to leave here today without allowing yourself to experience the grace, the mercy, and the love of God who came to earth. The scripture says it this way, even though he were equal with God, he took upon himself the form of man, and came and humbled himself to the cross. And he gave his life so you and I could be saved. And that's what I want for your life today. And once you receive that, then you begin to live out this stewardship that he has for you.